الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وأسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه، وأن يجعل نياتنا خالصة لوجهه. بارك الله فيك، أحسن الله إليك. كنا أمس قد تكلمنا عن البدعة وأنواعها والتوسل وجوازه، وما يتعلق وأمور أخرى تتعلق بهذين البحثين. Yesterday we talked about asking Allah by the prophets and the pious people at Tawassul. We talked about the innovation. تكلمنا عن زيارة قبور الأنبياء والصالحين. We talked about visiting the graves of the prophets and the pious people. قبل أن نكمل في شرح كلام الطحاوي، أحب أن أذكر حديثا ثابتا له تعلق أيضا بما كنا فيه فائدة، وله تعلق بما كنا نذكره أمس. Before moving on in explaining the creed of al-Tahawi, I like to mention a hadith that has a benefit in it and which is related to what we were talking about yesterday. أخرج الطبراني في معجميه الكبير والصغير عن عثمان بن حنيف أن رجلا كان يختلف إلى عثمان بن عفان، يعني يتردد إلى سيدنا عثمان بن عفان له حاجة، فكان عثمان لا يلتفت إليه ولا ينظر في حاجته. كان سيدنا عثمان ينسى أمر حاجته، لا يقضيها لها، لا ينسى. الطبراني narrated in his two books المعجم الكبير and المعجم الصغير from the route of Uthman ibn Hunayf, one of the companions, that a man used to come to our master Uthman ibn Affan, that is when Uthman was a caliph, seeking something from him. He used to come and go, come and go. And Uthman did not fulfill what he needed. He kept forgetting his request. That is, he didn't remember to fulfill his need. فلقي هذا الرجل عثمان بن حنيف. He met with this companion called عثمان بن حنيف. فشكى له ما يحصل معه. He complained, I come and go to Uthman and he is not fulfilling my need, he is not giving me what I want. فقال له عثمان بن حنيف إيت الميضاء فتوضأ وصلي ركعتين ثم قل اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبينا محمد النبي الرحمة. يا محمد إني أتوجه بك إلى ربي في حاجتي، وتذكر حاجتك وهي كذا وكذا، لتقضى لي، ثم روح حتى أروح معك، يعني ثم تعال إلي بعدما تفعل هذا، تعال إلي حتى أذهب معك إلى عثمان نكلمه في حاجتك. عثمان ابن حنيف told him, go to the place where you make wudu, pray two rak'ahs, then say this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka binabiyyina Muhammadin nabiyyir rahmah. Ya Muhammad, إني أتوجه بك إلى ربي في حاجتي لتقضى لي. Which means, O Allah, I ask you, I direct my request to you by our Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Mercy. O Muhammad, I direct my request to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala by you for my need, which is such and such, to be fulfilled. Then Uthman ibn Hunayf told him, after you do that, come to me and we will go together to Uthman ibn Affan. Ar-Rajul فعل ما قال له عثمان بن حنيف. The man did what this companion told him to do. ثم ذهب وحده إلى باب عثمان. Then he went alone to the caliph. لما وصل إلى الباب، البواب أخذ بيده فأدخله إلى عثمان. When he got the doorman took him by his hand and showed him, يعني made him enter the house of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. لما رآه سيدنا عثمان قال له ما حاجتك؟ والله ما تذكرتها إلا الساعة. When Uthman saw him, he asked him, what is your request? I swear by Allah that I did not remember it except now. فَذَكَرَ لَهُ حَاجَتَهُ. He told him, my request is such and such. فَقَضَى لَهُ عُثْمَانُ حَاجَتَهُ. Uthman did or gave him his request. هذا الرجل خرج من عند سيدنا عثمان لقي عثمان بن حنيف. This man went out from the place of the caliph. He saw that companion who taught him the dua. فقال له جزاك الله خيرا لأنك ذكرتني عند عثمان عند الخليفة. He told him, may Allah reward you because you talked with the caliph about my case. قال عثمان بن حنيف ما كلمته. This companion said, I did not say anything, I did not mention any word about you to the caliph. لكن شهدت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد جاءه رجل أعمى. He said, but I was in the session of the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ when a blind man came to him. وَشَكَى إِلَيْهِ ذَهَابَ بَصَرِهِ. He told him that he is facing hardship because he lost his sight. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال له إن شئت صبرت وإن شئت دعوت لك. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told him, if you want you can be patient, and or else I would make dua for you. يعني النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يرشده إلى أن الصبر أحسن. That is, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is telling him in a nice way that it is better for him to be patient with this calamity. لأنه إذا صبر على ذلك ولم يتسخط على الله ولم يقع في المعاصي بسبب ذلك فإنه يكون له الجنة. Because if he is patient with that is, he does not object to Allah because of that, and he does not commit sins because of that, he will be rewarded by paradise. جاء في الحديث القدسي ما لعبدي عندي إذا أخذت حبيبتيه عينيه يعني إذا فقد بصره فصبر واحتسب ذلك عندي من جزاء إلا الجنة. It is narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said, that Allah تبارك وتعالى said, ما لعبدي عندي إذا أخذت حبيبتيه فصبر واحتسب ذلك عندي من جزاء إلا الجنة. Which means, if I inflict a human being with the calamity of losing his sight, and this person would be patient with it, seeking the reward from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah, seeking the reward of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I will not give him a reward for that except paradise. That is, paradise will be his reward for his patient, his patience. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أرشد الأعمى إلى أن أرشد الصحابي الأعمى إلى أن الصبر خيرا له خير له. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in a nice way directed this blind companion that it is better for him to be patient. وهذا الصحابي فهم ما أراد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. This companion, this blind companion, understood what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام wanted to say. لكن قال يا رسول الله ليس لي قائد. الأمر صعب علي. لا يوجد من يقودني. But he said, O Prophet of Allah, there is no one to guide me. I don't have anyone to guide me. So it is hard for me. فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إيت الميضاء فتوضأ وصلي ركعتين ثم قل اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبينا محمد النبي الرحمة يا محمد إني أتوجه بك إلى ربي في حاجتي وتذكر حاجتك لتقضى لي. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught this blind companion to say a dua, a supplication. O Allah, I ask you and I direct my request to you by Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, by our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Prophet of Allah, I direct my request to Allah by you. So my need, which is such and such, to be fulfilled. Uthman ibn Hunayf mazala yahki lirajul. This is the story that Uthman ibn Hunayf is telling that man. قال له فوالله ما تفرقنا ولا طال بنا المجلس حتى دخل ذلك الرجل وقد أبصر وقد رد الله عليه بصره. Uthman ibn Hunayf continued to tell this person, I swear by Allah that not after long time and before we left that session, the blind man came back, he entered to that session while he could see again. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ. This is a صحيح حديث. الطَّبَرَانِيُّ بَعْدَمَا ذَكَرَهُ بَعْدَمَا رَوَاهَ الْحَافِظُ الطَّبَرَانِيُّ قَالْ وَالْحَدِيثُ صَحِيحٌ. This top scholar, al-Tabarani, he is one of the top scholars in the area of hadith. After narrating this hadith, he said, this hadith is sahih. وَلَيْسَ مِنْ عَادَةِ الطَّبَرَانِي فِي كِتَابَيْهِ هَذَيْنِ تَصْحِيحُ الْأَحَادِيثِ أَوْ تَضْعِيفُهَا. It is not the habit of al-Tabarani in these two books of him, of his, to mention if the hadith is sahih or not. إلا هذا الحديث, for the exception of this hadith. بعدما رواه قال والحديث صحيح. After he narrated it, he mentioned that this hadith is صحيح. كأن الله ألهمه ذلك لأنه يأتي في زماننا هذا من ينكر التوسل. يعني الله تبارك وتعالى guided him to say this statement, maybe because nowadays some people claim that saying that is not permissible. Oh Allah, I ask you by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا الحديث ليس فقط الطبراني رواه بل رواه كثير غيره. This hadith is not only narrated by al-Tabarani. Many other scholars of hadith narrated this hadith. Minhum al-Tirmidhi. Among them is al-Hafiz al-Tirmidhi. وصححه كثير من الحفاظ. ليس الطبراني وحده. Not only al-Tabarani judged it to be صحيح. كثير من الحفاظ تكلموا عنه بيّنوا صحته. 16 حافظا من حفاظ الحديث بيّنوا صحته. 16 among the top scholars of hadith, they talked about this hadith and they explicitly mentioned that it is صحيح. حتى ابن تيمية صححه. Even ابن تيمية mentioned that this hadith is a صحيح حديث. ففيه فائدة عظيمة. هذه يعني هذا الذي علمه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لذلك الصحابي هو الذي يسميه العلماء صلاة الحاجة. هذا الثابت عن نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذا كان الإنسان له حاجة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى, شيء يريد أن يقضى, فليتوضأ وليصلي ركعتين وليدعو بهذا الدعاء, إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى تقضى حاجته. If someone has a need to be fulfilled, he wants to get something which is not accomplished, he couldn't get it, let him pray two rak'ahs, make this dua, and ask Allah تبارك وتعالى for that need to be fulfilled. Inshallah, it will be fulfilled. The scholars call this issue Salatul Haja, the prayer of one's need. يصلي ركعتين ثم يدعو هذا الدعاء. One prays two rak'ahs, then makes this dua. وفي هذا الحديث كما ترون أن هذا الصحابي عثمان بن حنيف أمر ذلك الرجل أن يفعله بعد وفاة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. In this hadith, as it is clear for you, this companion Uthman ibn Hunayf taught that man to do this issue and say these words after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا كان في خلافة سيدنا عثمان. This happened during the caliphate of our master Uthman. لو كان حراما لو كان مثل ذلك حراما ما كان علمه إياه. Had it been prohibited to do something like that, he would have not taught this man to do it. وفي هذا الحديث أيضا كما ترون أن النبي أمر الأعمى وهو في غير حضرته أن يقول يا محمد. In this hadith, as you could see, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام ordered this blind companion to say, O Muhammad, while he was not in the session of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنْ يَتَوَسَّلَ بِهِ فِي غَيْرِ حَضْرَتِهِ أَيْضًا. And to ask Allah by him while he was not in his session. فَمَا يَقُولُهُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ أَنَّ التَّوَسُّلْ لَا يَجُوزْ إِلَّا بِالْحَيِّ الْحَاضِرِ. هذه قاعدة من عندهم طلعوا بها ليس لها سند في الشريعة. So what some people say, it is not permissible to make a tawassul except by someone who is alive and present. This is a rule that they produced without relying on any religious proof for it. كلكم يعرف حديث الثلاثة الذين انطبق عليهم فم الغار. All of you know the hadith of the three people who entered the cave and then a rock fell and blocked the entrance of the cave. لما حاولوا أن يزحزحوا الصخرة ليخرجوا ما استطاعوا. They tried to remove the rock to get out, they could not. فلجأوا إلى الدعاء. So they moved to ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to relieve them. أول واحد قال يا رب أنا فعلت كذا وكذا, ذكر عملا حسنا عمله. قال يا رب أنا فعلت كذا وكذا, إن كنت تعلم أني فعلت ذلك طلبا لمرضاتك فرج عنا ما نحن فيه. The first one said, mentioned a good deed that he did, and he said, O Allah, if you know, that is, O Allah, you know that I did this for your sake, so relieve us from this position. انفتحت الصخرة قليلا لكن بحيث لا يخرجون. The rock moved a little bit, but in a way that they couldn't get out. الثاني فعل مثله انفتحت أكثر. The second one did the same thing, the rock moved a little bit farther. الثالث فعل انفتحت الصخرة وخرجوا. The third one did that, the rock moved and they could get out. هؤلاء الثلاثة بماذا توسلوا إلى الله؟ بالعمل الصالح الذي عملوه. These three people, they asked Allah by what? By the good deeds that they did. العمل فيه روح, فيه حياة, ما فيه حياة. The deed, does it have a soul? Is it alive? Is it something alive? No. هذا العمل كان حاضرا حاصلا في تلك اللحظة. لا. This deed, did it happen at that moment? No. It happened long time before that. فَكَيْفَ يَقُولُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ لَا يَجُوزُ التَّوَسُّلُ إِلَّا بِالْحَيِّ الْحَاضِرِ. So how some people would say it is not permissible to ask Allah except by someone who is alive and present. إِذَا جَازَ التَّوَسُّلُ بِالْعَمَلِ الَّذِي هُوَ مَخْلُوقٌ أَلَا يَجُوزُ التَّوَسُّلُ بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if it is permissible to ask Allah by a deed which is created, of course, it's a creation, wouldn't it be permissible to make a tawassul by the best creation, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Of course it is permissible. وَعَلَى هَذَا عُلَمَاءُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ قَدِيمُهُمْ وَحَدِيثُهُمْ. This is what all the scholars of Muslims said. Since the time of the companions up till nowadays. فَمَنْ خَالَفَ فِي هَذَا لَا يُنْظَرُ إِلَى كَلَامِهِ. Anyone who goes against that, his saying does not have any weight. ما يخجل الذي يخالف المسلمين من أيام الصحابة إلى أيامنا. ما يخجل, ما يستحي, إذا كان لا يستحي من الله, ما يستحي من العباد أن يقول كل هؤلاء لا يعرفون حتى جئت أنا فعرفت. The one who goes against this, isn't he or she shy? If they don't feel shy from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, don't they feel shy from the people? How do they dare to say that all the Muslims since the time of the companions up till nowadays didn't know the right thing about this issue until I came and I am the one who would know it? مرة كان رجل من علماء اللغة المعروفين يقال له العتبي, a man, a linguist, a well-known linguist called العتبي, كان قريبا من قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was close to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. جاء رجل, رأى رجلا جاء إلى قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. He saw a man who came to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال يا رسول الله, الله تعالى قال ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما وقد جئتك مستغفرا من ذنبي مستشفعا بك إلى ربي فاشفع لي, يعني ليغفر ذنبي. ثم ذهب. في ذلك الوقت ما كان يوجد هؤلاء الوهابية الذين يمنعون الناس من هذا عند الحجرة, يتصرفون مع الناس بفظاظة كما يعرف كل من يذهب إلى الحج أو ما كانوا موجودين في تلك الأزمان. فعل ذلك وذهب. العتبي بعد ذلك أغفى, رأى في المنام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول له أدرك الرجل وقل له قد غفر الله لك. This man العتبي was next to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. A man came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah تعالى said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. وإني قد جئتك مستغفرا من ذنبي مستشفعا بك إلى ربي، أي ليغفر ذنبي. He said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah Ta'ala said, He mentioned the verse which means after they did what they did, had they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Allah for forgiveness, and the Prophet asked forgiveness for them, then Allah would have forgiven what they did. He continued to say, O Prophet of Allah, here I am, I came to you, and I ask Allah for forgiveness, and I ask that you ask Allah for me to forgive me. Then he went. Al-Utbi, who witnessed that, slept after that. He saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his dream, telling him, catch up with this man and tell him that Allah forgave his sins. لذلك العلماء بعد هذه الحادثة يجعلون هذا، يذكرون هذا في كتبهم، يقولون الذي يذهب إلى قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ليقول هذا. So after this incident, the scholars wrote in their books that the one who visits the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, let them say these statements. Al-Imam An-Nawawi fi kitabihi Al-Azkar zakara hadha. For example, An-Nawawi in his book Al-Azkar mentioned this issue. Ibn Aqil Al-Hanbali aydan zakara hadha. A very known Hanbali scholar called Ibn Aqil mentioned this issue. As-Subki, Al-Hafiz As-Subki zakara hadha. Al-Hafiz As-Subki mentioned this issue. وآخرون كثيرون. Many other scholars mentioned this issue in their books. فتذكروا بارك الله فيكم هذين الأمرين. صلاة الحاجة، إذا عرضت لكم حاجة لا تغفلوا عن صلاة الحاجة باليقين، بصحة النية وقوة اليقين. وإذا زرتم قبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا تنسوا هذه الكلمات. So may Allah bless all of you. If you have a need, do not forget the prayer of Al-Hajjah that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught to that blind companion. And if you ever visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, do not forget to say these words there, hoping that Allah تبارك وتعالى would forgive you. طيب. إلى هنا واضح أبتلهير. Is it clear? قال المؤلف رحمه الله والله يغضب ويرضى لا كأحد من الورى. The author said Allah has the غضب, that is the attribute of غضب and رضا, unlike any of mankind. يعني أن من صفات الله تبارك وتعالى الأزلية الغضب والرضا. الغضب والرضا صفتان أزليتان لا ابتداء لهما ولا انتهاء لهما ككل صفات الله تبارك وتعالى. Allah Ta'ala is attributed with attributes. Among His attributes, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, are two attributes who are called Al-Ghadab and Al-Rida. And these attributes are eternal and everlasting, just as all the attributes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَغَضَبُ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ كَغَضَبِنَا. The ghadab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not like ours. نَحْنُ غَضَبُنَا حَادِثُ لَا يَكُونَ ثُمَّ يَكُونَ. We get angry. And this anger is something which is created. It did not exist, then it exists. أَمَّا غَضَبُ اللَّهِ فَأَزَلِي لَبْتِدَأَ لَهِ. As for the ghadab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is eternal without a beginning. غَضَبُنَا إِنْفِعَال وَاللَّهُ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنِ الْإِنْفِعَالِ. Our anger, when we are angry, we get... our anger is an emotion. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is clear from emotions. لِأَنَّ الْإِنْفِعَالِ صِفَةُ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Because emotions are the attributes of the creation. وَالْخَالِقُ لَا يُشْبِهُ الْمَخْلُوقِ. And the creator does not resemble the creation. ذَاتُ اللَّهِ لَا يُشْبِهُ ذَوَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَصِفَاتُ اللَّهِ لَا تُشْبِهُ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. The self of Allah does not resemble the selves of the creation, and the attributes of Allah do not resemble the attributes of the creation. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالَ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Because Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى said in Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, which means nothing resembles Allah in any mean, in any way. لِذَلِكَ المسلمون عقيدة المسلمين أن الله تبارك وتعالى ليس جسما وليس صورة ولا يوصف بصفات الأجسام لا بالحركة ولا بالانتقال ولا بأنه يكون في مكان ولا بأنه يجري عليه زمان. هذه كلها صفات الخلق والله لا يشبه الخلق ليس كمثله شيء. This is why the belief of the Muslims is that Allah تبارك وتعالى is not a body. He does not have a shape. He is not in a place. Not in one place and not in all the places. Neither in one place nor in all the places. And that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not attributed with any attributes of the creation, with any attributes of the bodies. Movement and being in rest are among the attributes of the bodies. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is clear of that because He is not a body, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala لا يشبه الإنسان ولا يشبه الماء ولا يشبه الهواء ولا يشبه الضوء ولا يشبه السماء ولا يشبه النار ولا يشبه الأرض لأنه هو سبحانه خالق كل ذلك. كيف يشبه الخالق مخلوقه؟ لا يشبه الخالق مخلوقه. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not resemble the human being, does not resemble the jinn, does not resemble the air, does not resemble the fire, does not resemble the earth, does not resemble the sky, does not resemble the water. He is the one who created all of this. So how would the creator be similar to the creation? This is impossible. Mentally impossible. لذلك علماء المسلمين يقولون نحن عقولنا عاجزة عن معرفة حقيقة الله عز وجل. This is why the scholars of Islam say our minds cannot encompass the reality of Allah تبارك وتعالى. نحن نعرف أن الله موجود سبحانه ونعرف أنه ذات موصوف بصفات وأنه لا يشبه الخلق، لا ذاته يشبه ذوات المخلوقين ولا صفاته تشبه صفات المخلوقين. مهما تصورت ببالك فالله بخلاف ذلك. هذا أقصى معرفتنا بالله تبارك وتعالى. The scholars of Islam say we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala exists. Allah is a self attributed with attributes. These are attributes that befit him subhanahu wa ta'ala. His self does not resemble the selves of the creation. His attributes do not resemble the attributes of the creation. And this is what we know about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is how we believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. أما الذي يتخيل الله ضوءا أو شيئا منتشرا في كل مكان كالهواء أو شيئا قاعدا على العرش كما نحن نقعد على الكرسي أو على الأرض فهذا ما عرف الله. As for the one who imagines that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is something similar to the light, is a light, white, red, yellow, whichever color. If someone imagines that Allah is a light or that Allah is like air spread here and there, everywhere, or that Allah is a body that sits on al-arsh like we sit on a chair or on the ground, such a person really do not know the proper belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not have the proper belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّهُ كَذَّبَ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Because he is belying the verse of Al-Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. لذلك قال علماء الإسلام غضب الله ليس كغضبنا، رضا الله ليس كرضانا، غضبه ليس انفعالا ورضاه ليس انفعالا سبحانه. This is why the scholars of Islam said the غضب of Allah تبارك وتعالى is not like our anger. الرضا of Allah تبارك وتعالى is not like our delight or satisfaction or pleasure. إِنَّمَا غَضَبُهُ صِفَةٌ لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا تُشْبِهُ صِفَاتِنَا لَا نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نُدْرِكَ حَقِيقَتَهَا وَرِضَاهُ صِفَةٌ لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا تُشْبِهُ صِفَاتِنَا لَا نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نُدْرِكَ حَقِيقَتَهَا. They said his غضب is an attribute of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and we cannot encompass with our minds the reality of this attribute. Al-Rida is an attribute of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We cannot imagine with our minds the reality of this attribute. لأن الله لا يتصور في الذهن، لا يتخيل في الذهن، لا هو ولا صف، لا ذاته ولا صفاته. Because it is impossible to imagine Allah and it is impossible to imagine any attribute among the attributes of Allah تبارك وتعالى. لما جاء اليهود إلى النبي، بعض اليهود إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فقالوا له صف لنا ربك الذي تعبده. اليهود مشبهة، تعرفون اليهود يشبهون الله بالخلق، اليهود يعتقدون أن الله جسم كبير قاعد على العرش وأن له أعضاء وأنه يمشي ويقوم ويقعد، بل يقولون أكثر من ذلك، يقولون يقولون يختبئ منه الإنسان، وصارع يعقوب، وخرافات كثيرة تخالف العقيدة الصحيحة، وأنه خلق السماوات والأرض في 6 أيام ثم قعد على العرش ليستريح، وغير ذلك من خرافاتهم. جاءوا إلى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قالوا صف لنا ربك الذي تعبدوه، فأنزل الله سورة الإخلاص، قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. فقال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام هذه صفة ربي عز وجل. هكذا نحن المسلمون نعرف الله، ليس بتشبيهه ولا بتخيله، قال هذه صفة ربي عز وجل. قل هو الله أحد معناه الله لا يشبه شيئا من الأشياء بأي وجه من الوجوه إلى آخر السورة، قال هذه صفة ربي عز وجل. You know that the Jews believe that Allah resembles the creation and that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sits on al-arsh and that he walks, gets down, gets up, goes down, goes up. Sometimes someone's hid from him. He got in. He wrestled Prophet Yaqub. He created. Yeah, this is what they say. And maybe you'll find it in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Yeah. As I'm telling you, they say that almost a whole night he wrestled Yaqub, they say. They say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created the skies and earth in 6 days, then he sat on al-arsh to get rest, etc. So they liken Allah to the creation. Some of them one day came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and told the Prophet, describe Allah, tell us about the attribute, or describe your Lord that you worship. Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدِ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, which contains the meaning that Allah does not resemble anything. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, recited this surah, and then he told them, this is the attribute of my Lord. That is, this is how we know Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We the Muslims, we know Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he is the creator, he is attributed with the attributes of perfection that befit him subhanahu wa ta'ala, But we do not try to imagine Allah. We do not imagine His attributes. Anyway, our mind cannot imagine Allah or His attributes because He does not resemble anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِذَلِكَ قُلْنَا غَضَبُ اللَّهِ لَا يُشْبِهُ غَضَبَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَرِضَ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ كَرِضَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. And this is why Al-Imam Al-Tahawi mentioned in his booklet, in his creed, that the ghadab of Allah does not resemble the anger of the creation, and a rida of Allah do not resemble the satisfaction, if you want, of the creation. وَرَبُّنَا يَغْضَبُ وَيَرْضَى لَا كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْوَرَى لَا كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْوَرَى لَيْسَ كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. هكذا قال الطحاوي. Imam al-Tahawi said, Allah is attributed with al-ghadab and with al-rida without this being similar to the attributes of the creation of the human being. And here, let me draw your attention. I'll speak in English because this is something that mostly... Let me draw your attention to an important matter. You noticed, I think, that I did not say the anger of Allah, because this is not an attribute of Allah. You cannot translate any word, that any Arabic word, to any other language however you want. It's not like that. The term ghadab in Arabic can bear many meanings, several meanings. The term ghadab in Arabic is mentioned in Al-Quran and the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah is attributed with it in Al-Quran and the hadith of the Prophet. I cannot and you cannot come up with an attribute which is not mentioned in Al-Quran or the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is not which the nation did not agree upon it. I cannot come with such an attribute and attribute it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Neither in Arabic nor in any other language. Likewise, I cannot come up with a name that Allah did not mention it in Al-Quran. It is not mentioned in As-Sunnah. The nation did not agree, all the nation did not, does not have consensus upon it, and then name Allah with it, whether in Arabic or any other language. To make it more clear, we say about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala Al-Qadir, don't we? This is one of the names of Allah. Why do we say that? Because Allah mentioned this in Al-Quran to be one of His names. It is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You know that in the Arabic language, Al-Qadir means the one attributed with Al-Qudra. طيب. In the Arabic language, Al-Qudra can be, you can express it also by saying Al-Istita'a. And the one who is attributed with Al-Istita'a in Arabic, you would say Al-Mustati'a. But it is not permissible to call Allah Al-Mustati'a. Even if someone might say, but it has the same meaning as Al-Qadir, because this is not something to us. This is not something that we are qualified to do it. We do not name Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala except with the names that were mentioned in the religion. We do not attribute to Allah any attribute except the attribute that was mentioned in the religion. We cannot come up with something and attribute it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is why with the term al-ghadab, I cannot find any term in English that has the same meanings that the term al-ghadab would encompass. The term anger in English means, you know what it means, and it is attributed to the human being. This is an attribute of the human being. I cannot attribute it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You see what I mean? And even if we can find a term that has the same meaning, still we do not attribute it to Allah as an attribute. Because we cannot just come up with things and attribute them to Allah, or names and attribute them to Allah, even if these names do not reflect any sign of imperfection. Even though this is not something which is up to us. Is this clear? Allah yubarik fikum. This is why Al-Imam Al-Ash'ar, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, what did he say? وَلَا نُسَمِّيهِ إِلَّا بِمَا سَمَّى بِهِ نَفْسَهِ. We do not call Allah except with what Allah called Himself. That's it. وَلَا نَصِفُهُ إِلَّا بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهِ. We do not attribute to Him except what He subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed to Himself. Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari قال لا يجوز أن يسمى الله باسم لم يرد في القرآن ولا في السنة ولا أجمعت عليه الأمة. Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari said it is not permissible to name Allah with a name which is not mentioned in al-Quran or in the hadith of the Prophet or all the nation had consensus on it. ومثله قال عبد القاهر البغدادي ومثله قال غيرهما كثير من علماء الإسلام. وهذا مذكور في فتح الباري شرح البخاري الحافظ ابن حجر. This is mentioned by the author of فتح الباري الحافظ ابن حجر in his explanation of البخاري. So be aware. Don't be like some people who, when they talk about Allah, they say the face of Allah. Don't ever say that. Face in English does not have the same exact meanings that the term wajh in Arabic has. You cannot say that. Usually face in English refers to what? To this part of the body. Allah is not attributed with parts. Allah is not something, does not resemble us. Al-wajh in Arabic can mean the self. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. It can mean the self. Wajh can mean the thing, the act of obedience. Wajh can mean also this face. Wajh can mean other things. So, in Arabic, it is not permissible to say in English the face of Allah or the hand of Allah, as some people say. What do they say? Allah is attributed with face. This is how they say. Or Allah is attributed with hand. hand in English refers to this part, which is a part of the body of the human being. The term yad in Arabic has, let me remember, 14 different meanings. The term yad in Arabic, 14 different meanings. And when we say yadullahi, as in the ayah, yadullahi fawqa aydihim, it does not refer to the hand at all. Yadullah means ahdullah. That's what it means in this verse. So be careful. Don't be like the negligent people who say whatever comes to their minds about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Be careful. Follow the steps of the Muslim scholars. And I mean the real scholars. I'm talking about Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Ahmad and Malik, and those who learned from them, and then those who learned from them, and so on up till nowadays. These are the scholars. Not someone who doesn't know except a little bit, few things. Maybe he read one or two books about the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He knows some stories. He did not study with the shaykhs al-fiqh, al-tawheed, the language, etc. These are not scholars. So be aware about that. Let me give you one more little advice. Allah yubarik fikum. Be patient with me. If you are nowadays, if one among you is hesitant, because many people nowadays claim to be scholars and they are ignorant people. So one might be sometimes hesitant. If you are hesitant with someone, you hear from him something, ask this person, what is the proof of what you are saying? And ask him in which mazhab is this mentioned. What he is mentioning. Don't, if he tells you Allah said in Al-Quran and he comes up with a verse, he might misinterpret the verse. How would you know? If he comes up with a hadith, he might misinterpret the hadith. How would you know? Even the Arabs nowadays, they don't know well the Arabic language. We all know that. Ask him, where did al-Shafi'i mention this? Or the students of the Shafi'i, top students, tell me, in which book? Who among them and in which book? Who among the students of Abu Hanifa mentioned this? And in which book? Who among the students of Ahmad ibn Hanbal mentioned this? In which book? Who among the students of Malik mentioned this? In which book? Ask such person, from who did you learn the matters of the religion? If he told you, I read books, I have my, my library, my way of research, etc., do not rely upon him. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. This is what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said. You do not accept to go to a person to treat you from a sickness if this person did not go to the university and through a lot of, you know, to become a reliable doctor, even to treat your small finger. You do not trust a person who only read few books about this issue to go and tell him, well, I'm sick, treat me. You do not trust him. So how do you trust about your religion someone who is not qualified, who only read few things, etc.? Regardless of how eloquent he or she is, we're not talking about that. Now if he tells you, I learned from so and so, then you ask him, from who did he learn or she learn? And then if he tells you, if he gives you that chain to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and when you ask him, from where did you come up with this? He would refer back to texts from the students of Al-Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Ahmad and Malik, etc. Referring to their books, etc. Then this would be someone who really acquired the knowledge. He knows what he's talking about. Do not rely on someone who goes back home. At the end of the day, he gets a cup of juice, he sits, he opens a book, and he starts reading in this book, and then the next day, he comes out to the people talking about what he read in his book, in this book, without having the ability to discriminate between what's right and what's wrong, etc. Hey, on the internet or whatever. MashaAllah. Hey, let's stop here for now. نقفوا هنا. والله تعالى أعلم. Allah knows best. If you have any questions, please go ahead and ask. تفضل أخي محمد. وفيكم. توقيفية. أسماء الله توقيفية هو ما كنا نذكره, يعني ما قاله علماء أهل السنة أن أسماء الله توقيفية معناه لا يجوز لنا أن نسمي الله بشيء من عندنا, لا نسميه إلا بما جاء في الشرع تسميته به. هذا معناه تماما الذي كنا هذا معنى هذه العبارة توقفية. نعم تفضلي.
نعم يعني اي لا نفتعل اسما له
هكذا. نعم. I can't hear. ما معنى
عهد الله؟
That is the يعني the oath that they gave, the commitment. This is what it means. تفضل. ما يعني يد الله فوق أيديهم, أي عهد الله فوق أيديهم, معناه عهد الله ثابت عليهم. The commitment that they gave, they have to bind to it. This is what the verse means. تفضل حاج مروان. It is an attribute with which Allah punishes. Inshallah, We'll talk about it, inshallah. There is still something to be said about that. But yes, as you said, and al-rida, it is an attribute with which Allah rewards. Yes. Yeah, you are not saying that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has the attribute of ability. You are explaining. When you explain, it's okay. Just as you explain in Arabic. But you don't make this as an attribute. This is what we were talking about. Faddali. If you use the proper words, still, while explaining. Na'am. I can't hear you, sorry. Wrath? What does it mean? Doesn't it mean the great anger? Wrath? I tell you something. Stick to what is mentioned in Al-Quran and As-Sunnah and you will be safe.
ما تقعد ما تكتموا على نفسنا دخيلكم طيب بارك الله فيكم نهلل لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسم الله بارك الله بكم